This morning, you take your Bibles and turn over to John chapter 3 and verse 16. That's where we'll be at this morning. And we want to look at a passage that is often misused in the religious world today. There are a lot of passages that we could look at. There are a lot of passages in the religious world that they twist, they change. They twist the scriptures to into what they want to believe and they want to teach. And we can't do that. When we talk about scriptures, we need to do exactly what the scriptures teach and what they say. And so as we look this morning, I want us to appreciate that John chapter 3 and verse 16 is one of those passages that do just that. They twist, they present it in a different way other than what's intended. And so we want to look at John chapter 3 and verse 16. And this, to me, is one of the greatest verses that we can see in Scripture. And we'll see why in just a moment from now. But when we look at John chapter 3 and verse 16, just look at the text this morning for a moment. I want to present a couple of ideas for you about why I think this is one of the greatest verses that we can find in Scriptures. When we look at the idea of the greatest being is mentioned in this text as being God. We find the greatest motive on this side of eternity, and that being love. And so when I think about this idea of why this is such a wonderful verse, greatest being is mentioned, God. The greatest motive that's mentioned is love. The greatest need that we find in here is the world. That's what we see listed in this verse in John chapter 3 and verse 16. The greatest sacrifice is offered here in this text as well. That being Jesus, God's beloved Son, who was sent to this earth to die on the cross to give us hope. He's mentioned as well in this this text here. And then we also find the greatest offer, whosoever. Anyone can come to God through Jesus Christ. And so we look at this idea here. It's powerful. It teaches us much about this. The condition is also listed in this text. Okay, so God, love, world, His only Son, the offer, the greatest offer that's extended, whosoever, the greatest condition, he who believes. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, this idea of believing and how ones misuse or misrepresent this idea of belief. And I want to say right from the very start that belief is essential. And we'll look at that. And we're going to teach that this morning. Belief is absolutely essential. The greatest tragedy is also listed in John chapter 3 and verse 16, that we should not perish. The greatest tragedy that we could ever face on this side of eternity is not a miscarriage, it's not a bad marriage, but it's to enter into the judgment unprepared to meet our Lord. That would be the greatest tragedy for us as we pass from this earth. And then the greatest promise that was ever made, everlasting life. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that we can have the opportunity to have everlasting life offered to us today. So I want us to think about these things this morning. When we think about John chapter 3 and verse 16, it is a powerful verse. And it says so much to us. And so my statement that I made this morning already of it being one of the greatest Bible verses in the Bible, I stand behind that statement, and I stand behind it because of what we've revealed already in this lesson. And so John chapter 3 and verse 16, the most abused Bible verse in the New Testament, is what we're going to look at. When we say that, what are we talking about? What are we making reference to? And why would we make a statement like that about John chapter 3 and in verse 16? Well, we make that because the word alone is often inserted into John chapter 3 and in verse 16. That's what we find in the religious world, right? He who believes alone, right? That's the idea. That's the concept. That's why John chapter 3 and verse 16 is misused and misapplied. And they accuse those that don't believe that is not understanding John chapter 3 and verse 16 and twisting what this text
teaches us. And so we want to look at what the Bible has to say. What does the Bible say about this idea of John chapter 3 and in verse 16? What we talked about there, greatest offer, greatest condition, greatest tragedy, greatest promise. You think about Bible examples. What if you could find a Bible example that would talk about all of these things? The greatest being, God. The greatest motive, love. The greatest need, the world. The greatest sacrifice, His Son. The greatest offer, whoever. The greatest condition, the one who believes. The greatest tragedy, you should not perish. And then the greatest promise, everlasting life. It would be hard-pressed to find a Bible example where all of these things are talked about. And we have it all crammed into one verse. One Bible verse, John chapter 3 and in verse 16. And so, as I mentioned, ones want to teach this alone idea of John chapter 3 and verse 16. We're going to do away with that this morning with a couple of slides, and we hope that it'll be beneficial to you. Many will say as well, you start talking to your religious friends when it comes to John chapter 3 and verse 16, and they'll make the statement, all I need is John chapter 3 and verse 16. That's all you need. You need nothing else. Now, again, I've mentioned that this is one of the greatest Bible verses that we can find in Scripture. And everything that we see listed on that board this morning is absolutely true. It's absolutely true. But we'll look at other slides to help us appreciate this morning that John chapter 3 and verse 16 is not all that we need. And when one makes that statement, their basis is upon misreading the text, misunderstanding what the text is saying, and they jump to a conclusion that's faulty. That's like that foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rains came, and the house fell, and great was its fall. Listen, none of us want to enter into judgment unprepared to meet our Lord. Can we all agree on that this morning? We all want to enter into judgment fully prepared to meet our Lord. And so we should do our very best to try and fully understand what John chapter 3 and verse 16 is teaching. And I think that with a couple of small passages this morning, that all of us can stand for truth and teach what the Scriptures have to say. It's not very difficult to explain John chapter 3 and verse 16. If you understand what's being said. So let's look at this idea through biblical examples that we find in Scriptures. And so we look at this idea, faith and how it's taught through Scriptures. We find that there are ones that were saved by faith. Saved by faith. You know, when we think about being saved by faith, we have everlasting life. I want us to appreciate that. So we're going to teach this idea of faith through Scriptures for just a couple of moments. We talk about all we have to do is believe, right? There's the faulty stand there. But is faith essential? Does faith save us? Well, if we take the stand that no, it doesn't save us, then we're teaching against Scripture. When we go beyond and we say faith alone saves us, then we'll have a problem with the next slide that we'll look at. That's where the problem comes. But we cannot deny it. We're not going to look at all these Scriptures this morning. I wish we had time to look at all of them, but we don't. But those of you that are taking notes, please write frantically. And I'll have these slides available if somebody wants them. Be happy to share them with you. But by faith, we have everlasting life. That's what John chapter 3 and verses 14 through 17 teaches us. We cannot deny that. That's what the Scriptures plainly teach. By faith, we have everlasting life. We can't deny that. We also can't deny in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 that we are justified by faith. Right? It's the idea of justified. Just, kind of break this word. Just if I'd not sin. That's the idea of justified. God cleanses you and makes you whole, wipes every sin from your life, and places you in a position just as if you had not committed sin. That's what faith does for us. We are justified by faith. We also find out that salvation is by faith. Right? When we add alone, as we'll see in the next slide, that's when we find ourselves in trouble. Right? But the Bible does teach this. I remember presenting a lesson about this idea about faith and how faith saves. And at the conclusion of the lesson, somebody came up to me and said to me, "You taught a false doctrine today." I said, "How did I teach a false doctrine?" "Well, you didn't say anything about baptism." "Well, lesson wasn't on baptism," right? This is a biblical point that all of us need to grasp. Faith does save us. That's what the text teaches us. Salvation is by faith. Heart is purified by faith as well. Acts chapter 15 and verse 9. By faith we are born again. John chapter 1 and verse 5. These are found in scriptures. These are not opinions. They're not thoughts. And this is why when we start talking with those in the religious world, some of us have problems. Because they'll read verses like this, and then we stumble around trying to explain, well, it's not just that. Well, I hope with the next slide, it gives you some ammunition to explain some of these things. All of these passages teach salvation by faith. But do they teach salvation by faith only? There's a difference, right? Would any of us disagree with anything that we've said up till this point? We wouldn't, right? Where do we have the problem? Well, those of us that are sound in scriptures, we find the problem here, right? Faith only. You see, there's a big difference. We believe that faith saves us. But we don't come to the conclusion that faith only saves us, right? And that's where we need to go when discussing these, John chapter 3 and verse 16, or any of these other passages. When they turn to this passage and they say, see, here, we're justified by faith. Well, you can turn over to the next one and say, well, we're also, salvation is by faith. A pure heart is by faith as well. Every word in John chapter 3:16 is true. But not all the truth is found in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Does that make sense? Can we all agree on that? Every word in John chapter 3 and verse 16 is true. So when one says that we're saved by faith, amen. That is a biblical truth. We've just read a bunch of passages. Where the problem is when we add faith only. And so we want to look at some of the differences here and look at some other ideas. So when we think about faith, the Bible also teaches that salvation is through obedience as well. And so when discussing this idea with some in the religious world, which I have, that teach faith only, this is what I'll turn to. One has eternal life by faith, but also by obedience. Look at John chapter 3 a little bit further in this text. John chapter 3 and in verse 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, right? That's what's taught earlier in the text. John chapter 3 and verse 16, that's where they'll hang their hats on. When they do that, bump them a little bit further in the text. John chapter 3 and verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. You know, when we think about this idea, one has eternal life by faith, but it's also by obedience. We need to see that in this text and many of the other texts that we'll look at this morning. You know, the idea of belief, we think about that. Belief, to me, when one believes, they do something with it. And that's the picture that we'll paint this morning in this text and with the next couple of slides. You know, we also see that we are justification is by faith, but it's also by obedience. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let's turn over there. Romans chapter 1 and in verse 5. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. And it says this. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now think about that idea of obedience there. You know, if all that was needed is faith to be justified, then what do we do with a verse like Romans chapter 1 and verse 5? How do they fit together? If we're going to say John 3 and verse 16 is faith only, that's all we need, then how do we make these two verses come together and make sense for us? If all we need is faith only, then what do we do with a text like Romans chapter 1 and verse 5? Jump a little bit ahead. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Just a couple of verses and we can see the faulty stance of John chapter 3 and verse 16 and faith only. What's Romans chapter 6 and verses 16 through 18 teach us? Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience, catch this, leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. How do we make sense? How do we make these both fit together? In verse 17, what's it say there? Yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. If faith only is what's needed, then how do we make that idea, that stance that we're taking, make sense when we look at a verse like this? Do you see where we're going with this? There is no way that it can be faith only. It's impossible for it to be that way, and it's impossible because of other Bible verses. Now listen, when one's caught in this, we need to be gentle about this. We need to present the scriptures. We need to do so in a right way. But please, for the love of God, give them these verses. They need to see how John chapter 3 and verse 16 is not teaching faith only. It cannot teach that. It does teach that we are saved by faith. We cannot deny that. But faith alone will not save anybody. And a verse like this helps us to appreciate this as we live our lives today. You know, the same is true about salvation. It's by obedience as well. It's not just the idea of believing and that's the end of it. There is more needed. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. We're just going to read a few of these verses. I think we could really end the lesson with discussing this with somebody just by that slide that's in front of us. How do we make sense? If it's faith only, how do we make sense of these Bible verses? Are all of these Bible verses wrong? Well, I don't think any of us would say that. We all believe that these Bible verses are right, right? And when we discuss this with somebody, before we even get into explaining anything, ask them to read these Bible verses. Ask them to read John chapter 3 and verse 36. Ask them to read Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, 6 and 16 through 18. Ask them to read the verse that we'll read right now. Ask them to explain that verse. How do you understand this Bible verse? Is obedience important? Because the scriptures plainly teach that here. Look at this text. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all, what's it say? To all who obey him, right? So it's more than just faith, because if not, how do we explain this Bible verse? How do we explain verse 9? If it's faith only, then what does this mean? He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Is obedience essential? The one who says faith only, ask them the question. Is the idea of obedience essential? And I think they'll come to the conclusion very quickly that yes, it is. And then there's a predicament, right? How can they stand on faith only when there are so many other Bible verses that teach that obedience is essential? I will tell you, there's only one conclusion that we can come to. And we'll deal with that in the next slide. But our hearts are purified by faith. We can't deny that. That's what the scriptures say. But also obedience. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. We are born again by faith. Right? Ones will say the sinner's prayer. Right? I obeyed the gospel. I said the sinner's prayer. I'm saved. Well, here's an important verse to look at when one believes that. You see, it's not just faith only, but it's the idea of the sinner's prayer and some of those other false ideas that are kicked around today. Read them a verse like this. But also by obedience. Romans chapter 6 and verse 18, the verse that we just read. That's a powerful verse. Remember that verse. Romans chapter 1 in chapter 6 is a powerful chapter when dealing with faith only or those that would teach the sinner's prayer. So how do we harmonize these? How can we make sense of faith and obedience? I will tell you, there is only one way, and that is they go together. You can't have one without the other and be saved. Both are absolutely essential. And that's how we harmonize these Bible verses, right? It can't be faith only because of the second slides that we showed. All those Bible verses, it can't just be faith only, right? I want us to understand we can't go to the other extreme either and make it all just about obedience, right? We're checking a list. We're doing what God has told us to do. And because we've checked all that list, then our ticket is punched to heaven. The heart is involved, right? Faith is involved. It's not just all obedience or all faith, but they work simultaneously together for salvation. And one of the things I've come to appreciate, if we have to make something harmonize, we probably should go back and revisit what our belief is. Because the scriptures harmonize. They go together. When you have faith and you have obedience, it's like a beautiful, my girls are in band now, all the instruments are playing together, it sounds beautiful. But man, you take a trumpet by itself and boy, that's obnoxious at times. There's a lot of instruments that you can take that sound, I think it's the oboe or something, the girls, they don't like that instrument. It says sounds horrible. But when you put it with all the other ones, it sounds lovely, it's beautiful. They harmonize together. Kind of like with us, when we sing out, and all the parts are added. There are a few songs that we sing here where the girls have a lead part, the boys have a lead part, and then we come together and we harmonize. And it's beautiful. When faith and obedience are harmonizing, then we have salvation. We can't have it with just one or just the other. I hope that makes sense for us as we push to conclude this lesson this morning. And again, if we have to make something harmonize, go back and revisit what you're teaching. If you're teaching faith only, and there are a bunch of other Bible verses that contradict that, you better go back and revisit what you're thinking. And open your Bible and come to a biblical understanding of truth. And so, I just want us to appreciate this. Just a few Bible verses to help us understand faith and obedience. They harmonize. They don't contradict each other. They work together for salvation. And then in conclusion to this lesson this morning, I want us to appreciate the obedience of faith. And really, that's a right way to say it. That's exactly what it means. It means to believe in Jesus onto salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. For with the heart, man believes onto salvation, believes onto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made onto salvation. That's what Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 teaches. How do we explain that? Faith and obedience working together. They harmonize. Matthew chapter 21 in verse 32 is another verse. Mark 16 in verse 15 and 16. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Now the person that teaches faith only will go on and emphasize the latter part of that. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Look, belief is talked about once. Obedience is, faith is talked about twice. Obedience once. Doesn't matter. You can have faith talked about and being saved by faith 15 times and only have one Bible verse that talks about being saved by obedience. We have to harmonize those two. It's important for us to realize that. The harmony of the scriptures is what we are after. So, yes, we are saved by faith, but not faith only. We are saved by faith, working together with obedience. And so I hope that has been beneficial to you. Just a short lesson dealing with the false doctrine, the false idea of faith only. Again, you can use the same pattern when it comes to the idea of the sinner's prayer or a lot of other false ideas that are presented in scriptures. Sit down when you're studying with somebody. Look at the Bible verses that they're teaching. Chances are they're probably taking one Bible verse on that subject and running with it. Sit down and look at all the other Bible verses that teach on that subject as well. And make harmony of them. Do they fit together? Does a single idea stand alone? Often the case is we find that it's not. Just like salvation. There are a lot of Bible verses that we can turn to that talk about hearing and believing as we did today. But is that it? Is that all that's needed? No, we know that repentance is needed too because of all those Bible verses. Well, if we hear and believe and repent, are we saved? You know, there are some that would teach that. Say the sinner's prayer, then it's done. But how do we make sense of confession? How do we make peace with the idea of baptism? The only way that it makes sense is all of them function together. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. We've run through it almost like it's a checklist. But this does something to us. When we go through this process of hearing and believing and repenting and confessing and getting to that point that we want to be baptized, it does something to us. We are changed within. We have a desire to please God, to follow what He has for us to do on this side of eternity. But listen, that's not all. Right? We've got some that believe that as long as you're saved and you're baptized, then you can't be lost. Right? There are doctrines out there that teach that. There are groups that teach that. Once you are saved, you cannot be lost. Well, how do you make sense of Revelation 2 and 10 and 2 Timothy 4 and verses 6 through 8? You see, even the plan of salvation refutes a lot of those false doctrines that are out there. To stop anywhere in the process here without dying and being faithful, I want us to understand, if we stop anywhere in our life, short of being faithful unto death and being obedient, having the type of faith here to follow all this, then we're lost. It's what the Bible teaches. And we need to appreciate that. And that's where we as Christians need to stand. So I hope that the lesson's been beneficial to you. It's challenged you. It's maybe refreshed your mind on some biblical passages. Maybe it's given you an idea of how to conduct a home Bible study, how to deal with people that view things differently than we do. Be patient, be kind, but present the truth. And then it's up to them. Our responsibility is to sow the seed. God will give the increase. And so let's be busy teaching what the Bible teaches. If there's anybody here this morning that's not right with God and wants to come to the Father this morning, hear, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of living God, repent of your sins, confess the name of Jesus Christ, be baptized, not because that's what we say here. We do say that. But you don't want to hang your hat on what man says. But do that because that's what the Scriptures teach. We're ready. We're willing and able to aid you this morning in becoming a child of God. The question is, do you believe enough to move to obedience? That's the question. And I hope that you'll struggle with that. If we can help you in any way, come to the front or raise your hand while we stand, while we sing.